passages. It's about the spiritual gifts, and we'll try to take a look at what the scriptures say about spiritual gifts. A lot of times, it kind of goes in two directions. Either ministries just stay away from it altogether because there's some disagreement regarding some of the spiritual gifts, how they work out, how they're used. And then the other side is that so much emphasis is put upon the spiritual gifts. Probably, you may be here today saying, what are you talking about, Bruce? Spiritual gifts. Well, the Bible does speak specifically about spiritual gifts, and they are important in the life of a church. And I think as we take a look at what the Bible has to say, that's where we go to find out what we're supposed to be doing here, that it does speak specifically about spiritual gifts. The book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, and the book of Ephesians, and some other places that speak about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to ask, let's pray and ask God to open our eyes and to keep in mind as we hear what Scripture says, is how does this apply to me as a follower of Jesus Christ and my role in what God wants to get done here on this earth? So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts, our lives this morning. Father, thank you for the time to gather. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement to be together as you've called us to gather ourselves together to worship you, to encourage one another, to instruct. And Lord, help us as we take this time now and open our Bibles to find out what you have to say about us and our place in your great work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this, that a survey looking over the history of the church, of God's dealing with people through the church, that at times of spiritual renewal in church history, a couple of things have really stood out as you look across the span of the church. One is the existence of many small groups of people. Sometimes we are under the impression that it's the big mega gatherings that really push the work along. But throughout the course of the history of the church, what is evident is there are a lot of groups of people all over the place, and they don't have to be big groups of people. But here's the second thing that showed up, and that is this, that among those groups of people, though they were not large, there was a high degree of participation by the people using their talents, their abilities, and their gifts. And that's what we're going to be talking about, spiritual gifts. So speaking of spiritual gifts, I've got looked up, and there's numerous definitions, but I'm going to give you two this morning. One is this: a spiritual gift has been described as a God-given or God-ordained spiritual ability through which Christ enables his church to carry out its task here on earth. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you are convinced and you believe that Jesus is the Savior? Let me see. Okay. And I'm not going to walk out here, and if you don't have your hand raised, I'm just asking for a survey. How many of you are convinced that having believed that Christ is the Savior, that his plan is for his followers to do his work? Does anybody believe that? Okay, all right. So that's where we're going with this. Here's a shorter definition. A spiritual gift is a spirit-given, which by definition would be God-given, ability for Christian service. And so this morning, we're going to look at some of these passages of Scripture. We're going to be digging through some verses. I'm going to ask you if you want to dig further, to look further into this. We'll give you some passages to look at. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in the book of Romans. We're going to be in Ephesians. And we're going to be kind of uncovering some basic principles regarding spiritual gifts. So let's get started. First of all, every child of God has a spiritual gift or gifts. All right? Now, you may be sitting here today and saying, not me. I can't think of anything. Well, that's your impression and your opinion. What Scripture says is you are gifted by God for purposes, for His purpose. Let's take a look at a verse here. We're going to look a little deeper into some of these verses, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says this: a spiritual gift is given, can you read with me, to each of us so we can help each other. Boy, do not forget that verse. I think all of it hinges on that right there. But it says this: a spiritual gift is given to each of us, and it says so we can help each other. Let's go to the book of Ephesians now, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul is writing to another group of believers, and he says this. He says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. So every Christian has been given some manifestation or showing forth of the Spirit of God in their life. And in God's family of grace, no one is left out. You know, sometimes we develop the attitude that, well, I don't do anything. I'm a big nothing in the church. Now, friends, that really sounds kind of humble, but it's not. What it really is there's a lack of discernment there, because God has gifted each of his people with something that they add to the body, all right? Now, let's think back to what I shared with you this morning when Ken came in from driving the bus with the kids, and he jumped up on that little box that he hits that thing so well. How many of you agree that that really added something to the music? We've made mention of that. And so it's plain to see that the work gets done when we add what we can do to it, all right? So God doesn't just tell us to serve. He gives us the tools for the task. And what a blessing that is. Each believer has been gifted to accomplish some necessary ministry. And all Christians are to have an active part in the furtherance of the gospel and the building up of other believers. That's it. You know, unfortunately, as with families, families have got their own dynamics. Church families have their own dynamics, strengths and weaknesses. Nations have their own kind of cultural DNA. You know, America, we are very individualistic, rugged individualism, and that's got some great things about it, but it also has some things that are not always so great. That's usually the way it is with things. The church in America, and maybe we could say the Western world, often has taken on the attitude of, this is a spectator sport. I'm going to show up. You paid professionals, you guys, Bruce and the other, you're going to do your show, and we're going to come, and we're going to clap when we like it, and then we're going to go home. Friends, that is not the model that's laid out in Scripture. And we're going to take a look at some passages. I want to ask you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is Peter writing to some believers. And he says this. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of what? Spiritual gifts. Use them well, what? To serve one another, to serve one another. So our attitude should be, I am a child of God. I have by his grace received some spiritual ability. And with his help, I will put my ability or abilities to work, building up other believers and extending the church's ministry, extending what Christ wants done. Well, let's go now to Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans, Paul wrote, it's probably one of the most dense theological books. There's a lot to it. And in this book of Romans, he touches on the body of Christ, those who are followers of Christ. And he also touches on spiritual gifts, which we're talking about this morning. So let's take a look. We're going to jump in at verse 6. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. In God's goodness, he's given us abilities, and we read that we are to use what he has given us to bless others. I want to read through the verses and just point out a few things. So he says here in verse 6, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. To prophesy, we're going to get the weeks ahead. I think next week, if God spares life, we're going to kind of give a short summary of the gifts that are listed here. But prophecy or prophesying can kind of branch out in two directions. One is what's called foretelling, where God puts it within somebody to tell what's going to happen out in the future, okay? The prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, God gave them these messages, and they happened to come true in Christ, those messianic prophecies. There's another fork in the road of prophecy, and that is foretelling. One is foretelling, future events. The other is foretelling, and that's just basically saying, hey, here's what God said. So in a sense, what I am doing right now, what our teachers did an hour or so ago, what you hear on the radio when somebody opens the scripture, when you're in a conversation with friends and family and you take something that God has said and you put it out there, that's called prophesying, okay? Now, we call it preaching too, sermonizing, teaching, but it is, and it also has that element of a God-given kind of message. I've had people tell me in my experience as a Christian, you know, I'm going to prophesy over you, Bruce, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to be doing 25 years from now. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of the things they prophesied didn't happen. But some of the things that folks have said, boy, they came to pass. So I'll tell you this, you don't have to just accept what anybody says just because they tack God on the end. The Bible says we're to test the spirits. We're to check things out. And a good place to go is to see if it lines up with what God has already said. That's the safest way to go. Because there's a lot of people out there saying a lot of stuff that God said that, you know what, I'm going to tell you honestly, it appears that God didn't have anything to do with that, some of that. All right? But God does speak. You know, I was thinking about this counterfeiting. Because somebody counterfeits something, does that mean that there's no such thing as a real thing? Stay with me. If somebody counterfeits a $100 bill, what that tells you is there are real $100 bills out there. So friends, because people counterfeit things, don't throw everything out. Just use some discernment and ask God to give you some understanding of what's going on. So let's read on here. He says this. He says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You know what I see there? In relation to us using what God has given us, do it well. Do it with generosity. Take it seriously. And do it gladly. Let's read on here. Chapter 12 of Romans, verses 9 and 10. He says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Really love people. You know, in one of the chapters we hope to get to this morning, you probably know it well. It's called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You familiar with that chapter? He talks about, Paul writes to the Corinthian people who have having a hard time. They were struggling. That's why he had to write the letter. And he says this, if you have gifts and you can prophesy and you know all kinds of knowledge, but you don't love, he's basically saying that gift is practically useless. Now think about this. If you ever had somebody come and there was a display of some spiritual power, but there was lacking love, friends, you can see it misses the mark, doesn't it? And that's what he's saying there. So Paul says to really love people, don't just pretend. Verse 11, he says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And that's what's needed for people to say, hey, I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven. I know I don't deserve his mercy, but I am glad for it. And I recognize that he's put something on my heart. And I'm going to go after it. And you know what? I'm going to go after it enthusiastically. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't want to miss it. What a tragedy for us to go through our life and God calls us home and we did not make use of what he has gifted us with. It's like leaving presents under the Christmas tree, all wrapped up, leaving them there and not getting into them. Now, our grandkids don't believe in that. No. They get into them before Christmas, all right? So he says, serve the Lord enthusiastically. Verse 12, take a look at this verse. It says, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. I'm going to tell you this. When you set out to find out what God, how God can use you, you're going to find out that it's not always going to be appreciated. Sometimes people are going to critique it. They're going to denigrate it. They're going to push it down. And I'll tell you this, when the going gets tough, you know what he's saying here? Press on patiently. Press on patiently. And then pray and ask God to help you. But don't just give up and say, well, that's it. They don't like what I'm doing. I'm done. I remember years ago hearing somebody share an illustration. They said, look, what you do for the Lord, you are uniquely wired to serve God. You're not going to do it the same way somebody else. I remember one day I preached a message and I had somebody say to me, well, why don't you preach like John Hagee, Bruce? And I thought, I guess because I'm not John Hagee. Because God made me who I am and I'm just going to go out there and try to do what God has put on my heart to do. But you know, I heard somebody say I was facing some discouragement in that, and I heard it on the radio, a preacher say, look, if you've got your pie there and you baked it and you just think it's great and you take it to somebody and they turn their nose up at it, don't let that bother you. Take it to somebody else because somebody else is going to like that pie. All right? So that's the attitude. To press on when the going gets tough. And I'm just going to tell you, if you have a heart to serve God, what you do is not always going to be received and not always going to be received well. And don't get too uppity because you and I have done some of the same stuff on the other side, haven't we? We get real honest about this. So press on when the going gets tough. And here, look at verse 13 in the same passage here. The attitude is when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And so here's the first principle we talk about is that God has gifted each of his children. And it's important that you and I recognize this, what Scripture says. You may be sitting here today and say, well, I don't see any evidence of that. You know, friends, it's in our seeking to be obedient to God that sometimes these things are made evident, okay? It's in doing God's will that we recognize, oh, boy, I love doing that. It may be teaching, it may be encouraging, it may be serving, it may be in administration. There's all kinds of ways in which God can use us in pushing forward his purposes. Now, here's the second principle, and that is this, that these gifts are not all the same. More than once, Paul used the analogy of the human body with all of its many members, all of its many parts. And the parts are different for a purpose, okay? Your hands, by the way, which are incredible, the capability that your hands have got, you ought to look at them right now and say, God, thank you for my hands. They are truly amazing. The ability for you and I to touch something and determine its thickness. Now, I don't remember the statistics, but the difference that your nerve endings and your skin can determine the thickness of an object is just incredible. Incredible. And so, friends, that's just one thing. But the parts are all different for a purpose. But in their differences, they all must work together. Okay? And do you know what it's called when the parts of the body are all working together? It's called health. Health. Do you know what it's called when the parts of the body are not all working together? It's called disease. It's called sickness. And so that's the goal here. The eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, and other parts Paul uses to illustrate the different gifts that God gives to his church. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The book of Corinthians, if you're familiar with the letter, was written as a letter to a group of believers. It's a problem-solving book. The church in Corinth, as we read about it, there were a lot of problems in that congregation, and Paul addressed them. I mean, some of them were way out there, and some of them were just normal stuff that every congregation, every gathering of people gets to deal with. What Paul is addressing in chapter 12 is a lack of unity. And he addresses the fact that they had spiritual gifts, but they weren't working together. And from what we read, some of the folks in that congregation who were gifted in one area or another area elevated themselves and thought they were more spiritual and more important than the other people. And because of that, there was a lack of unity and there was a lack of harmony. In chapter 13, he deals with a lack of love, and he appeals to the people there in that congregation. Hey, here's what really matters. By the way, think about this. At the end of your life, at the end of my life, you know what matters? Is love. Leaving behind all kinds of stuff, that's great. But I'll tell you what really matters is love. It's going to be God's love for you. It's going to be love for the people that you share in your life. And what he is trying to get at is that his people here who represent him to the world work at this thing of loving each other. Easier said than done, isn't it? All right? But that's what we're to work towards. And then chapter 14 of Corinthians, he deals specifically with two gifts, the gift of prophesying and the gift of speaking in tongues or unknown languages. Now, we're going to get to that, not today, but he makes an appeal to common sense in chapter 14, because there were some people in that congregation who were truly excited about their giftedness in a certain area, but they were not taking into account the fact that it was not fulfilling the purposes that God intended for it to fulfill. So he deals with that. So look at chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us." Remember the definition of spiritual gift? Special ability that the Spirit gives us. He says, "I don't want you to misunderstand this." In verses 3 and 4, he addresses a situation that must have been going on there. In their gatherings, there was such a heated environment that some people were standing up in the assembly and cursing Jesus. And he said, you know, that's not the way this thing should be rolling. So he deals with that. But where we want to get to are verses 4 through 6. This basic principle we speak about in this, that we don't all get the same gift, that God, in his infinite wisdom, knows how to gift his people, and it's not all the same. Verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but stay with me." What? "The same Spirit is the source of them all." Look at verse 5. "There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord." God works in what? Different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of service, and different God works in different ways. So you know what that says, friends, is that there should be unity in the body, but not necessarily uniformity. Not necessarily. We don't all have to be the same. We don't all have to do it the same way. And that makes sense, because in every gathering of people, every congregation, there are differing temperaments, personalities, races, genders, cultures, social background, and it's not going to all look the same. Does that make sense to you? Think about it. In this congregation, we're not a large congregation, but you see God working in people in different ways. And instead of saying, "You're not doing it the same way I'm doing it, you must be wrong," we should recognize that God uses us in different ways. And uses how we go about serving him. It's not, like I said earlier, You may not like that kind of pie. That's okay. Somebody else might. All right? That's important. We are all unique in our service to God. We don't do things in the same way. However, there is an overarching purpose, and there is something that binds it all together, and we find that in verse 7. Made mention of it earlier. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. We already nailed that down, didn't we? All right? So here's the purpose. So we can what? Help each other. You may have a translation that says, for the common good, for the good of the body. And gifts are given not that believers would be elevated above others, but that believers would serve others. Now let's look and go back and touch on a passage that we read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I want to look at it again. And I want us to take a look here and see what we're talking about, the purpose, why these gifts were given, and how they are different in each believer. Now, he says these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people, read it with me, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so, friends, we are to use our abilities and gifts to build up the church, and specifically, these offices that were read off there in Ephesians 4, our job is to help train and strengthen and mature believers so that believers would do the work, all right? And as we said earlier, the model for seemingly the American church is, look, you professionals, get in there and do your thing. We're rooting for you. And what we read about from Scripture and how the church developed is that those who lead, instruct, encourage, motivate, correct believers to do the work of God. All right? So that means we are all to be serving and doing God's work and using our gifts to do it. Let's go now in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 21. Paul is going to make the analogy of the body, the human body. And he says the body of Christ is like the human body, many parts. Okay? So I want to read verses 12 through 21. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And so what this says is that each part of the body has a role to play. Each part of the body belongs. And verse 18 specifically, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And no one should feel superior about his or her gift. Instead, we should use our gifts to willingly serve the body, each other. All right? Let's take a look now in the same chapter, verse 25 through 27. He goes on to say this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Have you ever stubbed your toe so hard that your hair on the top of your head hurt? I can remember, and I've shared this before, and just as an illustration, I used to trim trees with chainsaws and climb up in the trees. when I was in college, I was up in a tree and taking limbs off, and a wind blew through, and a lot of the chips were just up in the air, and some of them got in my eyes. I thought I was going to fall out of the tree with a running chainsaw. And some of those chips, real small ones, got embedded there, and I'm telling you, I was in misery for a day. Friends, what we realize is that each part of our bodies are important. You know what that says? That each person here is important to God. And, you know, unfortunately, the church has taken on, it's mirrored the culture that we are swimming in and living in, of celebrities. And sometimes those who lead are kind of propped up in a celebrity-type status, and that is a big mistake. From what we understand, every part is important. Not just the one standing behind the pulpit, not just the one teaching, not just the one singing, but all of us play an important part in what God wants done. Amen. All right? So I want to read here Romans chapter 12, going back to Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Paul is writing, and he says, "Just as your bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." We all belong to each other. Here's the third thing we want to cover with this and talking about spiritual gifts, and that is this: the Holy Spirit determines who gets what gifts. We don't choose, all right? We kind of think of it, I think I'd like to do that. I want to be that. The Holy Spirit gifts us. It's his choice. What is the scriptural passage that really gives us an indication? Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. It says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." And these are grace gifts. That's the very word charismaton. Charisma, when you speak of somebody with charisma, you're talking about a person who's gifted and maybe some social skills. But it comes from the word grace gift, a gift of grace, all right? So these are from God. They're not based upon our worthiness or our personal abilities, but given by God's sovereign choice. Now, I know you may be thinking, okay, Bruce, how do talents and spiritual gifts, how does that work? How does that work out? We're going to hopefully take a look at that. We'll see if we get time to get there today. But you know, these gifts that are given are determined by the Holy Spirit, by God. So because of that, there's no need for arrogance or bragging. They are gifts. We should take no credit for what God has freely given to us. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians recognize that God can use them in a certain way, and somehow it begins to elevate them in their own eyes and the eyes of others, and it's missing the point. The Spirit decides who receives what, and we have the privilege and the obligation to make use of it and to develop that gift. And there's two verses I want us to look at here about that we have an obligation to take what God has blessed us with and to use it for his purposes. I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to a young pastor, a spiritual leader, and he's encouraging him and he's mentoring him and teaching him. But here's what he says to him. He says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecies spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you." When they were sending him out to do ministry, they prayed over him. And Paul is writing to that young pastor, and he says, don't neglect what God has given you. So from what we realize here is the possibility that we, as believers, as followers of Christ, can neglect what God has gifted us with. But let's look at verse 15 as well. Paul says this: "Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress." And what he's saying there is this, that we have this obligation to develop what God has gifted us with. All right? Now let's take a look at another passage, 1 Peter chapter 4. We've already been here once, but we're going to come and read this again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let me read this verse. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well. You know what that lets us know, friends, is that we are to take what we've been given and to develop it and to ask God to help us for it, if it's a certain gift, to do it even better, to do God's purposes. These gifts are distributed according to God's choosing, not our own. But it seems there is opportunity for gaining other gifts. And we're having to kind of bring it to a close here now. But in two chapters over, in chapter 14, Paul writes to the Corinthian people and he says, look, he said, I've just talked with you about how important love is. He said, but earnestly desire some gifts. And he writes to them, and basically saying, look, you have a hunger to be useful. My good friend Bob Howe, he has a saying. You may have heard him say it. And he says, what tools have you got in your toolbox? He's gone through the years to prisons out in the Glades. And he speaks to those men, young and old. And he tells them, look, get some tools in that toolbox. And if you think of it in this way, God can empower us and give us what we need to be useful to him. How many of you, let me ask you a question before we wrap things up here this morning. How many of you have sensed that God has used you in a way and you never thought that could possibly happen? Anybody here ever had that? Hopefully there's a bunch of you. Some would say, you know, I had an interest in this, or I recognized there was a natural talent that I've developed. But I recognize that God has used me to encourage people, to push forward his purposes. And you know what? I get excited about that. I just feel like I'm where I ought to be. And that is what I think he's getting at. The thing about this is that if we're to seek these gifts, if we are to say, God, please use me in your work and what you want done, is that it should strengthen the whole church. It's not intended to be a celebrity show, but it's intended to bless God's people. That's it for today. Okay, I got more. Some of you may be saying, boy, just let's hear some more of this. I'll tell you, it is exciting. There's some things we're going to take a look at that what spiritual gifts are not. And then there are three lists that are given. That list, we've read some of them this morning, what some of the spiritual gifts are. Bible students don't believe that's exhaustive. That's not the only things that God gifts people with, but it gives us some broad outlines to know, hey, this is how God uses people to get his purposes done. And I think the thing we need to think about at this point is this. You know, first of all, Lord, am I a child of yours? That's what we talk about on a weekly basis. It's not by our efforts, not by how righteous, how good intention we are. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it says in the scripture that God is willing to extend mercy to us. He knows us. We know what we are. We may be fooling our neighbors and the people around us, but we're not fooling God. And forgiveness and mercy are extended. But you know, that's not all of it. God also empowers his people, if they're paying attention and want to serve him, to actually serve him. And he gives us what we need to do that very thing. And in that gives us a real sense of satisfaction and fulfillment as we do. And that's a great blessing, something that shouldn't be overlooked. For many people, going to church is just punching a clock. That's where I go. It's what I do. It's Sunday morning. If people of God could understand that he's got a lot that he wants you to be a part of, you and I, and it's not all going to look the same. You know, it's not necessarily that God's going to drag you up here and have to stand behind a pulpit and preach. There's a lot of ways to serve the Lord and to be a part of what he's doing. And your heart will thrill to it. I would just say, don't miss that. Let's all stand. We're going to pray, and God Spares Life, we'll get into some more of this next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. I thank you that it's evident, Lord, in the very world we live in, and yet we can look around and see that this place is in need of redemption. And Lord, help us to see that you want us to be an active part in what you're trying to do. Pray, Lord, that you would unsettle those who belong to you, who have just settled down for the ride. Lord, help each of us to hunger to know how you've wired us and to be a part of what you want us to do. We ask you, Lord, to work in our spirit, in our mind, our will, and emotion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.